My family are kind of people that try and figure things out. I don't know why we do this, but we do. And you know, it's a blessing and it's a curse. It's a blessing because if someone's trying to pull one over on you, sometimes you can figure that out and they won't be able to. But it's a curse when you have a wife that loves to surprise you with things. Because early on in my marriage, my wife is so great at being thoughtful, thinking about people, and wanting to surprise people with extravagant gifts and adventures, all those kind of things. But for me, the joy is in figuring it out before someone surprises you with it, which ruins the surprise, which the person who's surprising you doesn't enjoy, okay? And this may have happened to you at one point or another, but I learned not quickly enough. I didn't figure this mystery out soon enough, but I should have figured out that I shouldn't be figuring things out when there are surprises that my wife is trying to do for me. But nonetheless, I did, and it didn't go over great. But that's just kind of the way it is. That's the way that my mind works. I try and figure things out. So whenever I go see a magician, I'm not there to be wowed. I'm not there to be entertained. I'm there to figure out what he or she is doing, how they do the trick, so that I can know, because I want to figure things out. And what magicians do is they're brilliant at distraction, right? They want to distract your attention. They want your attention to be somewhere else, because a lot of times the illusions that they're creating are simple. Now, doesn't mean that they're easy. In fact, I've got a buddy who's a magician, and one of the things that I just love, I just continue to watch him over and over again because his skill is so great. He's so good at doing those simple things. But if you were to see it happen and you knew what you were looking for, you'd think, oh. And then you'd be let down, because once you know how a trick happens, it's not that cool anymore. But I'm always trying to figure it out, and magicians are trying to distract you. And so they have things like good-looking or beautiful assistants that are scantily clad, right? They'll have exotic animals that catch your eye. They'll have flashy colors and capes and wands and all different kind of things to distract you from what is really going on. And so for me, I want to try and figure out what's going on. I don't want to be distracted. And there's this passage in Scripture in Acts, and want you to turn there, which once again, 2 weeks in a row, we're not turning to Corinthians. Wow. Do you even know how to do that? Acts is right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. So there's some men and women that he had been discipling, that he had been teaching, and they're all gathered around Jesus. And this is, the setting is important. This is right before Jesus is going to leave. So he's already lived on this earth. He already died on the cross. He already rose again to new life. And if you're new to the Bible thing, spoiler alert, when he dies, he raises again. Okay, sorry to spoil the ending for you, but he does. And this is after that has happened. He spent 40 days with his disciples explaining to them, all of the scriptures and how they pointed to him and all the kind of stuff that we see now in the New Testament. And he's there with them. He's about to leave. And this is what happens. In verse 6, it says, "So when they," Jesus and his disciples, "when they had come together, they asked him," the disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Is this a bad question that they're asking? Anyone? No. Yeah, I agree. It's not a bad question. Is it a bad thing about restoring the kingdom to Israel? Is it a good thing that Jesus is going to restore the kingdom to Israel? We were not really sure. Yeah, I mean, I would say it's a good thing. You know, what Jesus is going to do, and they're kind of asking in it, Jesus, from a Jewish perspective, on the Jewish mindset of what was going to happen that we kind of see laid out in chapters 20 and 21 of Revelation, where Jesus comes back and he redeems and restores all things, and there's no more pain, no more sickness, no more disease, no more evil, all those kind of things, right? And they're asking, are you going to do that now? Is this the time when this is going to happen? And I would say that's a good thing that Jesus is going to do it. It's some beautiful information that I don't think is bad to have. So I don't think it's a bad question at all. In fact, it's a question that I would probably ask. In fact, it's a question that we ask a lot. Because if you had the choice between going to a church or listening to a podcast that was about, I don't know, how you need to give your money away, or one that was about Revelation and the end times, which would you be more likely to go to? I mean, I would think Revelation and the end times. Anytime a church starts talking about those kind of things, people come out of the woodworks to go because they want to know. When's it going to happen? What's it going to be like? What do we need to do? What are the signs? How do I know when Jesus is going to come back? We want to know these kind of things. And so the disciples are asking a very similar question to questions that we ask. Is Jesus going to come back while we're still alive? Is that going to happen? I would be interested to know that. So it's not a bad question. And here's what Jesus says. He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." So what he says is, the question is not the right question. He doesn't scold them, say, "You foolish, wicked disciples. What were you thinking? You idiots, you dum-dums. Come on." That's not what he said. He just said, hey, don't be focused on that. That's some interesting information. It's going to happen. But you knowing when this is going to happen isn't the point. But, so they ask him, is this going to happen now? And he said, yeah, don't worry about that. That's, in my opinion, a distraction. I think that's kind of what Jesus is getting at. That's going to be a distraction for you from the more important thing. And here's the thing I want you to think about. Here's the thing I want you to key in on. Here's the thing that I want you to be consumed by. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So don't worry about that. Don't lose sleep over that. Don't be anxious about when I'm going to restore the kingdom, when I'm going to come back. Don't be anxious about that. Here's the thing I want your attention focused on. Here's the thing that I want you to be a part of. Here's the thing that I want you to do. I want you to be my witnesses. Now, anyone know what a witness is? Have anybody watched a courtroom drama television show, Law and Order, or whatever else? There's about 100 of them out there. Okay, when you have a trial and you want to clear someone's good name, all the times you'll present evidence. And some of the evidence that you'll present is you will get people that were there, that saw, that heard, and experienced what the person's being on trial for, and they would have them testify about that. Right? Those are witnesses. You would call a witness and you'd ask them questions about what they had seen. You ask them questions about what they heard. You ask them questions about what they experienced. So in order to be a witness, you have to have seen something or heard something or experienced something. Right? Otherwise, you're useless when the prosecution or the defense calls you up. So tell us about that day. Oh, I was at home alone. What, do you know anything about this guy? No, I don't. Thank you. You just wasted the court's time. Okay? Right? That doesn't happen. You never see that in the courtroom dramas. Right. Whatever that was. I didn't hear. Sorry, my hearing sometimes is bad. But here's the thing. Yeah. You never see that happen. Okay? So, if we're going to be a witness for Jesus, we have to have seen, heard, or experienced Jesus. So the first thing is, the first key in being a witness for Jesus is actually knowing who Jesus is, knowing what Jesus is like, experiencing Jesus, right? We've got to know him if we're going to be a witness for him, if we're going to tell people about him, if we're going to display a life that has been changed by him. Peter says it this way. He says, always be prepared to give an account of the hope that you have. But if you don't have any hope, you can't give an account of the hope that you have, right? When Jesus told the demon-possessed man that we talked about last week to go tell his story, right? When he had his story to tell, to go share with him what God has done for him, if God hadn't done anything for him, he would have nothing to share. So the first thing is that, and it's so important. And then the second thing is to go and do it. Go be a witness. Go share. Go display. Go tell people about what Jesus has done for you. And we talked about that a lot last week. We were talking about discipleship. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and following, Jesus says, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And this is kind of the same situation that Acts 1:8 is. This is the same conversation he's having with his guys, okay? All authority has been given to me, so go and make disciples. That's how we're supposed to be witnesses. We're going to make disciples of all nations. We're going to intentionally point people to Jesus. That's what we do. That's how we do it. We live life with people, continually, intentionally pointing them to Jesus, and that's how we witness about what God has done for us to the world, through discipleship. But so often, there are going to be things, and we talked about this last week, that are going to distract us from the thing that is important. There are so many things that distract us from what is important. Sometimes they're bad things, right? Sometimes it's sin-type things, and sometimes it's good things, right? Sometimes people distract us from what's going on, and God created people. That's a good thing. Sometimes relationships, sometimes marriage, sometimes your job, your work. There are a lot of things that might distract you from the thing. And just remember right here, when Jesus is about to leave, he's saying the last thing that he's going to say to his guys before he departs, and he says, remember, don't get distracted by the stuff that isn't the point. Keep the main thing the main thing. Be my witnesses, which means you need to know me. You need to know the gospel of me, the good news that I came, lived, and died so that you might have life and have relationship with God eternally. That's the point. So last week, the whole entire point of what we talked about was discipleship. I wanted to encourage you guys to jump into discipleship if you weren't a part of that. If you were being discipled, I wanted to encourage you to begin discipling other people. Now, I think it's great to hear from me. I mean, it is, okay? Count your blessings right now. One, right there. But I was a child of the product of Reading Rainbow. Did you guys, anybody watch Reading Rainbow growing up? Now, at the end of Reading Rainbow, the guy from Star Trek would say, there's some great books that you need to read, but you don't have to take my word for it. And then you have other people share their experience. So that's what we're going to do. So I've got a few people that I want to invite up. First, I'm going to invite up Emily and Michaela. Why don't you come up here, and we're going to have you share about your experience with the discipleship. Yeah, you can clap for them. It's cool. It's cool. We can do that. So here's one mic, and then here's the other. We'll just share Jennifer's mic. Here you go. Get you a little slack there. Is that enough? You good? Okay, we got enough. All right, sweet. Okay, would you mind just telling us your names first?
Is it? Hi, I'm Emily.
Uh-huh.
And I'm Michaela.
That's correct. Good. Very good. Very good. Amazing. Now, you guys have been friends for a while, and I would love for you to just kind of tell us kind of how that happened. How did you guys meet?
I met Emily like my second Sunday at Mosaic, and I remember being super early and thinking like, crap, I'm so early, I'm gonna look so awkward and weird because like there's only like 5 people in the lobby, and we like made eye contact and it was also really awkward and weird, and I was like, do I go talk to her? No one else is looking. And so I like walked past her and I was like, hey, and she was like, hey, and then she made me feel less awkward and weird.
She made you feel less awkward and less weird, or less awkward but weird?
I don't know. Emily, what do you think?
Well, I mean, well, my half of that story was I was thinking, oh, look, there's a new friend. This is fun. But I'm, like, not one to really talk to people. But I was like, if she, like, makes eye contact with me, then I'll talk back. And she did. So then now we're friends. So it's really good.
So I remember Emily, like, got my number, and I, like, just moved to Florida, so I didn't really have any friends. And so that was really cool because she was just like, want to go get coffee and want to go have lunch with me? And I thought she was cool, and she still is. So I was like, yeah, I want to hang out with you a lot. And she was just super intentional with me. And the whole time I was like, wow, Emily just must really like me. She's always like, and I'm sure you did, but
yeah, I like you.
Okay, thanks.
Confirmed.
Yeah, confirmed. Good.
So how did that kind of transition from just hanging out to what you might call discipleship?
Yeah, so I felt like I sensed like a discipleship relationship between us before we actually...
I'm so sorry. If you hold your mic up just a little bit.
I feel like I'm so loud, though.
Well, they'll turn it down.
Okay.
But if you hold it up there, then it won't go in and out.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. So how did that kind of transition?
Yeah, so... Oh, yeah, I sensed like a discipleship relationship between us before Emily ever asked me to do any study or join a group. And I remember like talking to my mom about Emily and telling her like, yeah, Emily, she's like sort of my mentor. But then I remember thinking if she heard me say that, she would think I'm nuts. Like she probably does not think that, but it turns out she did.
Yeah, I was like secretly trying to mentor her. So she was right. That's good.
And so then she took me through this cool book called Dug Down Deep. And yeah, it was awesome. So that was like that's when that transitioned from like hangout friends to like, let me teach you about Jesus, friends.
Cool. So what was that process like for you, from your perspective, of kind of the transition between, you know, hey, let's hang out, to, okay, what if we went through a book together?
Yeah, it was just really cool getting to know her and hearing more of her story. And I just kept thinking, man, like if she knew more about God, I would just be so interested to see how much her story would change. And my life was impacted greatly by discipleship. And so it just makes me excited to get to have other people experience the same thing.
So, okay, so how long did it take you before you became perfect enough to, like, disciple someone else?
I was discipled for about 2 years before I was perfect.
Okay.
So. Just joking. I'm not perfect at all. And so I feel like that is something I would love to say to all of you, is you don't have to be perfect to pour into other people. Just I just knew how much I was impacted by discipleship, and so I was just excited for other people to experience that. And so... I just think that I'm always okay saying, yeah, I don't know. Let's look that up together. And I think that that is helpful, because then she's not like, oh, Emily knows all this stuff. It's like, look, we know how to find this together. So that's helpful.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. No, it really was, because it made me like remember and realize and then remember later on that like this was about God, and God was doing a huge work through Emily. And it wasn't like Emily's so knowledgeable and powerful. It was always like, and I'd be like, what about this? And she's like, I don't know. Let's find out. That was just helpful for me to start thinking like that, because I think it's easy to not, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool. So now, throughout the process of you guys hanging out and you just having a friendship and then also talking about Jesus and studying things together, you've become a disciple maker. What was that like?
Yeah. At first I was like really taken back by Emily being like, I think you should lead a group. I thought she was losing it. just because I felt really inadequate and like, I have not been following Jesus for years and years. Like I can't lead other people, maybe like middle schoolers. So, and there's clearly no middle schoolers in this room. So, so I felt really overwhelmed and not like cut out for it. But, I feel like the more I realized who my identity was in Christ, I realized that like that is what we're called to do, and it's not really about me and my knowledge, and it was not my group, it's God's group. And so I'm able to be a part of that. So I feel like that helped me, like, okay, chill out, girl, it's not even about you, so get over yourself, sort of. Yeah,
that's really cool. Mm-hmm. So now, obviously, in the process of discipleship, we're intentionally pointing one another to Jesus. Has there ever been a time when, let's say, you disappointed Emily? And how did that go? Did she, like hate you and leave
no.
you? And...
sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. No, really, no. Yeah, there were lots of those moments, especially in the beginning, because I was sort of, like, back and forth and crazy and all over the place. And, where's it going with that?
Were you like, when you disappointed, were you ever nervous that she might?
Yeah, yeah. I really was sort of thinking like I was like sharing stuff with Emily, and she was one of the first people I ever opened up to about the scary stuff. And so I was always like thinking in the back of my head and wondering like, I wonder if she's like, she's still going to hang out with me, but is she going to treat me different, or is she going to like, you know, not be as cool with me or make me feel guilty? But I like kept waiting for that, and that never happened. So she just did a really good job of showing Jesus' love to me through all of that, when I was super unsure of everything.
Because that was me when the Disney campus started. Because I feel like I'm like first generation discipled here. So it's like really weird for me to be like, yeah, and I'm like a discipler. Like that's weird because I feel like I was the poster child for discipleship for the first years of Mosaic at WDW. And so, yeah.
So what's that been like for you to transition from just having other people pour into you to now you seeking to pour into other people?
It's been really neat, and it's really encouraged me to keep learning and growing more, too. I think when you know that you're going to teach it, I think that you learn better. So that's mm-hmm. been even helpful for me. But it's like, so Michaela has her little group in our living room, and we live together now, too. So and I like come down. That is like my heart is the happiest when I see her. Like they're like talking about God in a circle, and my heart is so warm. So that's so cool. So it's really cool because it's like her girls are like fourth generation Mosaic at WDW discipleship. So that is really cool.
That's really neat.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be someone here tonight who is kind of on the border of thinking, man, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. This is kind of weird. I'm kind of scared. What advice would you give to someone that's thinking about maybe I'll get involved in discipleship?
I know what's something that held me back a lot was being nervous to let someone in because then I knew that that person would be speaking truth into my life and that meant like conflict and, yeah. But the more I started to realize what good actually was, I sort of realized that my good life was actually making me miserable. And so when I started realizing that difference, that was really helpful, and so I feel like it was definitely worth it for me to, even though it was really scary to like open up to someone and let someone be invested in your life, it really impacted my life because if Emily hadn't have been super intentional with me, then I probably wouldn't have like, I mean, maybe later down the road, but like maybe not as soon of like, you know, like been on this path I am with Jesus, so. Yeah, just that it was really worth it that I, even though it was scary, that I was like, sure, I want to be in a discipleship group. Mm-hmm. And now it's not scary at all. No, it's fun.
So let me tell me if I'm hearing this right.
Okay.
It's that it was scary.
Yeah.
But it was worth it.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Emily, anything to add before?
Yeah, can I talk like on the...
Please do.
If you've been in a D group for a while, like you can lead one. It's fine. If you don't know the answers, it's fine. Just say, I don't know. Let's find out together. And then you can ask somebody else and you can look in the word together. And yeah, it's totally fine to not know everything because I sure don't. And it's really, really rewarding to get to see other people get closer to Jesus. It's such an exciting time. It's fun.
Well, thank you, ladies, for coming up here. I really appreciate it. Why don't you guys give them a round of applause? Yeah. Here you go. This is the time now. Aaron, where are you? Aaron, come on up here. Aaron. Hello, Aaron. Oh, yeah, Aaron. Hey, buddy. Got that?
Close or far?
Either way, it's cool. Okay, far. No, I'm just kidding. Well, maybe a lot of people may or may not know you. Would you mind just kind of telling us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. Yes, my name's Aaron Steiner. I'm married to Lindsay. Some of you guys might know Lindsay. We started to come to church here about a year ago. I teach fourth grade at an elementary school pretty close by in Winter Garden. And
Wait. You don't work for Disney?
No. Yeah, so that's...
Security! What happened? So you don't work for Disney, but you're a part of this church. That's really cool. I love that. There are a lot of people that don't work for Disney that are part of this church, and you're all welcome here, which I love that. I love that. So I've known you for a little bit, and I know that discipleship is a big part of your life. That word, I think, sometimes can be kind of just a Christian word that might be hard to understand. How would you define it?
Yeah, so I've always thought of it. I have a background with sports. I've kind of played sports a lot growing up and as an athlete or as a coach. And so I've kind of always thought about it that way, where when you're on a team, you practice throughout the week, and you have a certain goal as a team, so that as you're practicing, you know, you want to win games. So everything that you do in practice is directed towards that goal. You want to accomplish that together. So all of your, you know, your energies are towards that. And likewise with discipleship, you're together with a similar goal. Like you want to become more intimate with Christ. You want to know him better. You want to treasure him more. So every time you meet together, you're you know, working towards that goal to help each other, you know, towards that end. So, and then like a teammate does when you kind of mess up or things are going great, either way, you're just reminding each other like about that, you know, like, hey, you know, as a teammate, we practice this, remember to do that in the game. Or when I was coaching, sometimes I coached high school football for a few years, and you know, it'd be in the middle of a game, and you practice something all week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you're watching film, and every drill is like, we're doing this because this opponent's going to do this, and boom, you know, and then you get to Friday night, and like, the whistle blows, and the first play happens, and like, you get hit in the face, and then like, some kids run over, he's like, you're like, dude, why'd you do that? And he's like, I don't know, you know? And then and you're like, hey, remember what we talked about? He's like, yeah, you know? And then,
like,
and
don't
then
get hit in the face.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of like discipleship, you know what I mean? Or just like good and bad, you're just like, yeah, like, hey, bro, remember? Like, you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
well, one thing that I think, no, it's great. I really like how you said teammate. And the reason that I think that is so powerful when you're thinking about discipleship is one of the scary things is when you think about, oh, I've got to mentor someone. I've got to know everything. I've got to be farther down the road. And I just think it just exemplifies what Jesus did as he showed us what leadership is, and that's serving one another, and that we're in this together, pointing to Jesus. I think it's really cool. Now, I know that you've been discipled. You had guys pour into your life. How has that impacted you, being discipled? Bless you.
Yeah, so along those same lines, you know, just the times over the years where, you know, just me like kind of just going through like manhood, like what does this mean, like, and what does it look like to be a man of God, and then just having other guys kind of come alongside you, and whether it's, you know, career stuff or the dating process or whatever, you know, just those kind of spaces. And I mean, specifically stuff like, you know, leading up to marriage, when going through engagement time with Lindsay, and, you know, just if there's different, you know, there are some situations that came up with different family members and friends in another community up in Atlanta, and just some tough things that came up at a certain time. And, you know, like when things get rough or they start to sting pretty bad, it's like, you know, like the wheels are about to fall off. And when you can have, you know, a guy just be like, hey, like you remember to bear her burdens and these burdens together and so fulfill the law of Christ. You're just like, all right, life sucks right now, but yeah, just being reminded of the gospel, yeah, and something that him and I have agreed on, you know, in more of a peaceful time, it's like we both realize, yeah, this is how we ought to live. Now things suck really bad. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is the application of that. So, I mean, those things happen regularly. And then when times are good too, just like remembering like God's awesome. You know what I mean? And just rejoicing together. So yeah, just being able to share that with older guys has been cool, you know?
It's nice to be in it alone, to have someone with you who's on your side, who's for you, and sometimes someone who's kind of been down the road before and can say, hey, everybody has issues with in-laws. Like, it's normal. It's okay. You got it. Yeah. Okay, cool. Except for me. Tim and Karen, I've never had issues with you. sorry. Now, as you've kind of taken on the role of discipler, disciple maker, transitioning from just being someone who gets poured into, what has that been like for you?
Yeah, I agree with what, you know, Emily and Michaela were saying, just the, I think the pressure now where it's just like, you don't feel ready, you feel anxious about like, hey, I'm an idiot, like this isn't helpful to these people. And yeah, so there's a lot of like, I think insecurity there, but I think that something that's been helpful for me is just reminding myself that it's not about my performance or adequacy. It's just like, hey, like, this is what Christ has invited me into. I have the privilege of being able to share life with people, and also just like kind of ownership in that as being a follower of Christ. It's like, this is kind of like my role in this family, like as being a teammate, you know? So it's just kind of, it's a jerk move to like be on a team and just really think about yourself, you know? So I kind of think of it that way. Just like, it's also like a responsibility, I think, to your teammates to spur them on too. You know what I mean? So even though I feel like I don't have much to offer, you still realize, all right, whatever little thing is there, like just use that, you know, and just share that. So
that's really cool. So you're kind of saying that if you don't disciple, you're a jerk. That's kind of, is yeah. that one here? No, I'm just
yeah,
kidding.
And that's the thesis statement. So it's just, that's it. Yeah.
But I love the idea that we are in this together. You know, we are a family. We are a community. And when someone needs help, we've got to be there for them. And one of the ways is because you have been traveling in your relationship with Jesus longer than other people, you get the opportunity to now do what guys have done for you in helping to intentionally point them to Jesus. I think that's really cool. What advice would you give to someone who's thinking about, man, maybe I should start getting discipled, or maybe even should I maybe begin to try and pour into someone else? Do you have any advice you'd give?
Yeah, you know, yeah, just to go along with the theme of the way that I see it is, yeah, you get a chance to be a part of the story. You know, yeah, like Mosaic, this talks about like our soul is rescued at a certain point, and we continue to believe in the gospel every day, you know, and then like we get a chance to have our purpose restored while we're on earth now, and we just get to see things through a different lens where I'm no longer just here kind of drifting or whatever, but I get a chance to play in that story and to help live out a different purpose and to help, you know, draw other people to Christ and share that with them. So I either, you know, some of you might not be involved in discipleship, and just being able to get involved in that story could just be a beautiful thing for you. And if you are being discipled and have a, you know, just a chance to pour into other people, yeah, it's just a real privilege to be able to, like you've talked about in weeks past, just being able to partner with God and his mission on earth, you know, it's just sweet.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for being willing to be up here. I really appreciate it. Guys, why don't you give him a round of applause? Thank you. Thanks, buddy. I the theme that I'm hearing from all those people and every person that I've talked to that has either been discipled or has begun to disciple people is, it's scary, it's hard, it's not going to be easy, but it's so worth it. It's so worth it. We need each other. Right, we are a team, we are a family, we're a community, and we're all having the same goal, that we would be able to pursue Christ, that we would fix our eyes on him, the author and the perfecter of our faith, and that we would join alongside one another and point each other to Christ intentionally and to walk alongside one another, because sometimes I don't want to do it. Sometimes I can't do it, and I need guys to come alongside me to help me when I'm in need. And so I just want to encourage you. This is the thing that Jesus said. Don't be distracted by the other things. Focus on this. Remember this. Think about this. Be consumed by this. Engage in this. This is why you're here. Because right now, Jesus hasn't come back yet. He hasn't. And there's a thing that we've got to do. There's a mission that we have to accomplish, and that's to join Jesus in his global enterprise of getting his good news, his love out to the world. Because there are people that don't know Jesus. There are people that don't know that God isn't mad at them, that God loves them, that God has invited them to be a part of his family. There are people that don't know that. There are people that don't know about the freedom that there is in Christ, that you can have freedom from the slavery of sin. There are people that don't know that. And there are people in our community that know those things but struggle, which is, if you're here, you're one of them. Me too, right? It's hard, and we need one another. So please jump in. The best way to do that is to go to the connect table and to find someone that's in a blue shirt, and they will begin to get you connected to someone who can help you jump in to being a part of discipleship, whether that's the first step of just saying, hey, man, I'd love to join a D group or crew or PIBS, or if it's, man, now I want to help lead people to Christ. How do I do that? And we'd love to help you get involved. Let me pray for us, and then we'll jump back into singing some praise to God. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. You are good. You are worthy of our praise. I just pray that you would draw us near to you. I just pray that you would impress upon our hearts the necessity for discipleship. Not just that we would be discipled, but that we would also begin to disciple. That we were created not just to be led to you, but also to lead others to you. Lord, I just pray that you give us the confidence that we need in you to do that. Lord, I pray that we'd remember that you have given us your Spirit, that we have your Spirit that can lead us in this. Lord, I pray that you'd bring to mind people that we know that need to be pointed to you, that need to have someone walk alongside them that might be going through something difficult, something that they can't handle on their own. And I pray that we would begin to step into their lives and just demonstrate actively your love as we are your hands and your feet. Lord, we need this and we need one another. So I just pray that you'd show us, that you'd encourage us, that you'd lead us, and that you'd empower us into this. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to join with you in ministry. I just pray that we would jump into it with all of our heart. And we ask these things in the beautiful name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.